When it comes to dog food and treats, you want something natural. A dog food or special reward that feeds great is made here in the USA and helps your best friend live a long and healthy life. That's what you get with Country Vet Naturals, natural goodness in every bag. And for those of you who want grain-free, they have that too. Country Vet Naturals, now available in the Des Moines Metro. Learn more at countryvetnaturals.com. Country Vet Naturals, loved by pets, trusted by owners.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Taro International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit taro.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Taro team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aureon, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits, AUREON.com, Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids, realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. We are out to lunch with Elizabeth Brizzuti, who is the CEO of the Des Moines Area Regional Transportation Authority. You would know it as DART. Elizabeth, how was lunch?
It was awesome.
Isn't this great?
Yes.
These people are just super here at Jesse's Embers. When we left our conversation, Elizabeth, we were promising a follow-up about future trends and what's going on in the transportation industry. So let's take a look. Let's peer into that crystal ball for a while. Talk to us about transportation, how it is today, and where futurists see this evolving into the future.
Well, I think we'll see two things as we start to look at the future. One is the autonomous vehicles and how do they play into our transportation network, and then how do they also kind of weave their way into our public transportation system, and you know, do we have autonomous buses in the future, and what sort of smart city technology do we need to be planning for as a region, you know, to help facilitate some of the technology changes that we see in the future?
And now, when you start talking about that, that brings to mind all kinds of different possibilities, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it really, you know, if you talk to a lot of futurists, it will definitely have an impact on parking. You may not need parking spots. Cars sit 95% of the time idle, not moving. And so, you know, what if that car is in constant service or motion, you know, you don't need all of the parking spots that we just recently saw an article on in the Des Moines Register with having over 1 million parking spots available.
Wow. That is something to consider, isn't it? And another trend?
Yeah, the second thing that I would see us seeing more of is kind of the mobility on demand or the transportation network companies and Uber and Lyft. You see more of those popping up into the market. How do they interface with the public transportation system? You know, are there services that we really need to think about that mimic some of that, or do we partner with those sorts of companies to provide a better service? One of the challenges we have are on the first mile, last mile, or getting people from the neighborhoods to the corridor or from the business parks to the corridor where the transit service is. And can services like those help support those transportation needs and bring people to, you know, where the regular service is? And so those are things that we are going to be really taking a deep dive into over the next year to come up with how we move forward in the region long term as it relates to those.
We indicated during the last segment Todd Ashby and the Metropolitan Planning Organization. I suspect that DART and MPO and all of these other entities are in pretty close communication on a regular basis.
Yeah, the MPO is currently working on their long-range transportation plan. We're working on finalizing ours, and they really need to work in tandem. The MPO also, which started a smart city committee or roundtable, which DART is an active contributor to that as we think about the future and what sort of technology investments do we need to be planning for in the right-of-way or where the streets are, in our signaling systems, in our parking systems, in our bus and public transportation systems to help facilitate a much smarter city.
Yeah, and so much of that is now centered on technology. Let's talk a little bit about the business arrangement of DART. And we oftentimes hear people talk about subsidization and government subsidies and things like that, and it's public transportation. But doesn't government really subsidize more than buses?
Yeah, all modes of transportation are subsidized in some manner. They all may have a little bit different form of taxation that revenue comes from, but most of our infrastructure is all built with public funds.
Yeah, and that's roads and bridges and airports
and trains. Systems and DART as well.
And DART as well. If that wasn't available, just to take this future trend thought process further, if that wasn't available, what would happen to public transportation and transportation in general?
Well, you definitely see a decline in the infrastructure and the state of good repair. I think we've all seen on the news over the last decade when a bridge fails or a road fails, all those infrastructure investments depend on those funding sources that we get for transportation.
One of the things that we mentioned and we talked about over lunch was this idea of business partnerships. And our good friend Amanda at DART, she's the communications officer there, is working on what?
Yeah, so one of the things that we have been actively working on at DART is increasing revenue coming in that isn't a public subsidy or to the organization. And so while we have our fare box revenue or what people pay to get on the bus, we've also been working with businesses in support of the organization. And so one good partnership that we've recently has been in the news is our partnership with DZ Manufacturing, where we were able to extend a bus route and add additional trips on our Route 4 along Northeast 14th Street to better meet the needs of their facilities and their workforce. And they also pay DART to allow all of their employees to ride for free. So with that funding that we got from them as part of their unlimited access agreement, we were able to make those investments in service.
Nice. And that allows the employees of DZ, because again, everybody's crying for employees, including DART, wanting more people. That should be a benefit, I would suspect, to their employees.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've seen increased ridership on that route due to new DZ employees using it. They also saw the biggest surge of applicants to their company in a long time after the announcement of that partnership and that their employees would be able to ride DART for free all the time, not just to work.
Isn't that something when you take away an objection or a barricade or a obstacle to gaining employment opportunity, what happens?
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it is. Elizabeth, let's chat a little bit about your long-range plan, if we can. And I know that you're still in the process of finalizing that. What are some of the standout features that you think people would be interested in?
Well, one of the things that, or some of the things that we're looking at from an investment standpoint, or what we hear from the public in terms of needs, is earlier and later service.
Oh,
you know, as we have a growing workforce, as our employers have more demands, they're working more shifts. So your traditional 8-to-5 bus service doesn't cut it anymore, and really needing to expand those hours. We do have a service change coming up in August where we're going to be expanding to 6 a.m. on most of our core routes, or getting people to work by 6 a.m. The service will start closer to 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning to facilitate that, but there's still, that's not across the board on all services. And then that later service during the week, and then also earlier and later service on the weekends. frequency is also a huge driver of ridership. We are, a lot of our core routes in August will be going to 20-minute frequency, but getting to that every 15 minutes is really when people can stop looking at a schedule and it really becoming less of a barrier to utilizing the service. And then also technology investments. We've made a lot of technology investments over the last couple of years. We have a mobile payment platform, so being able to buy your bus fare on your phone. We have a mobile trip planner. You can get real-time information on regarding your bus service now, but continuing to expand those technology platforms as new technology comes available and being nimble in that space as we look to the future. And then also kind of investments in infrastructure. Shelters are something that we hear a lot that we don't have enough of them. And
because Iowa winters can be a little disastrous. Yeah.
It's not fun to stand out in the elements when the weather isn't great. So in continued investment in shelters, and then also thinking about them from just bus service. You know, we've added B-cycle stations to several bus stop areas in the Drake area. There's one at Smoky Row. How do we continue to do that throughout the metro? And then eventually, you know, if car share becomes available in the metro, having a spot for car share at those locations. And then also, is that kind of a neighborhood pickup for an Uber or a Lyft service? You know, is there park and ride spaces? So thinking about more of it as a mobility hub rather than just a bus stop.
And you're doing something in the Windsor Heights area soon. This is an enhanced stop of some kind?
Yeah, we're really excited to make this investment in Windsor Heights at the bus stops that serve the Walmart and Sam's Club area. We received a grant a few years ago to make some vast improvements to that stop. It is one of our highest ridership stops outside of downtown and Des Moines, and it really lacks accessibility for anybody, particularly those in a mobility device. It's fairly not great situated on the property. It impedes traffic quite a bit and just is not a good waiting area for our customers. And so wanting to make those improvements there, those should be coming online later this fall, early winter.
We're talking with Elizabeth Brzuti, ladies and gentlemen, about DART, about the Des Moines Area Regional Transit Authority. All kinds of things in the future. This has got to be an exciting time for you.
Yeah, we are having a really good time at DART. It's exciting. We are continuing to push the needle in terms of our technology, the service offerings, working with businesses, and really trying to think out of the box on how we prepare the community for mobility into the future.
Yeah, and into the future, as we look at that, as we indicated in the last segment, it's not too very far away from having 1 million people in the greater Des Moines metro. And so that is going to cause some additional opportunities for public transportation.
Yeah, and one of the things that we are doing, or we are actively working on, is working with our member governments and their planning departments, thinking about land use, thinking about where developments are in relationship to the public transit service. And if that development really needs service or it's going to be essential for their workforce, then we want to make sure that those location decisions are thought about from the transit network as it is today, rather than adding service, because that comes at a cost for the community. Also thinking about where, if we can include bus shelters as part of a new development. Just down the street here on Ingersoll with the Roars development at the old China One Buffet, we were fortunate enough to get a new bus shelter included as part of their redevelopment of that site. And so that is something that really helps us as part of our overall planning and being able to provide additional infrastructure to the service.
I think it's fantastic, all the stuff that's going on. Final question, Elizabeth, if I can. How much do you listen to public comment when it comes to riders and ridership and those types of things? I know that wasn't too long ago, there was a group of immigrants that were kind of stranded in a food desert, is what they call it. And you guys reached out and said, hey, we think we can fix this, but it's going to take a little bit of time, a little bit of extra effort. How did all that come about?
Yeah, so we heard from a group of community members in the Park Avenue, 63rd Street area, where there's an apartment complex named Deer Ridge. And they have a lot of low-income and refugee residents there that don't have cars and don't have access to transportation. And they were really struggling getting to the grocery store, getting to work. And so we were able to quickly mobilize a shuttle solution that would help get those residents to the Windsor Heights Walmart, where they can access a variety of services as well as our entire route network system. And that's been in place since late February, early March. And we're continuing to monitor that service and really take a look as we look at our long-range plans if additional services are warranted. And so we really do depend on the public to tell us what they need, and as well as businesses.
Elizabeth Brizzuti, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for spending such a great amount of time with us talking about public transportation, transportation into the future, and the Greater Des Moines Metro. Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciated the opportunity.
Once again, that was Elizabeth Brizzuti, the Chief Executive Officer of the Des Moines Regional Transit Authority. We had a great time over lunch talking about the future of moving people from point A to point B. Fascinating stuff. And thanks again to our friends at Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll here in Des Moines for making our lunch fantastic. Neat conversation. We hope that you learned from it. That wraps it up for today. Thanks so very much for listening. For Elizabeth and for our crew, our production coordinator is Tyler Hackenmiller. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. Music you're listening to right now was created exclusively for the Business News Hour by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. You need some original music for your project? Get in touch with us and we will hook you up. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Thanks again for listening. Be safe, be well, be careful, but most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.